Now, above the hubbub of conversation around them, he made out a shout.
Oi! Move it!
Ahead of them, people parted, scattering as if some angry animal were forcing its way through. Bobby pulled Kate into a shop doorway. Through the corridor of annoyed humanity came a rickshaw. It was hauled by a fat Londoner, stripped to the waist, with big slicks of sweat under his pillowy breasts. The woman in the rickshaw, talking into a wrist implant, might have been American. When the rickshaw had passed, Bobby and Kate joined the flow which was forming anew. Bobby shifted his hand so that his fingers were brushing Kate's palm and began to handspell. Charming guy.
Not his fault, Kate replied. Look around. Probably rickshaw guy, once Chancellor of Exchequer.
They pressed on further, making their way east toward Oxford Street's junction with Tottenham Court Road. The crowds thinned a little as they left Oxford Circus behind, and Kate and Bobby moved more cautiously and quickly, aware of their exposure. Bobby made sure he was aware of escape routes, several avenues available at any moment. Kate wore her shroud hood a little open, but beneath it her heat mask was smooth and anonymous. When she stood still, the shroud's hologram projectors, throwing images of the background around her, would stabilize and make her reasonably invisible from any angle around her. A good illusion, at least, until she began to move again, and processing lag caused her fake image to fragment and blur. But despite its limitations, a smart shroud might throw off a careless or distracted worm cam operator, and so it was worth wearing. In the same spirit, Bobby and Kate were today both wearing their heat masks, molded to seamless anonymity. The masks gave off false infrared signatures and were profoundly uncomfortable, with their built-in heating elements warm against Bobby's skin. It was possible to wear all-over body masks working on the same principle, some of which were capable of masking a man's characteristic IR signature as a woman's, and vice versa. But Bobby, having tried the requisite jockstrap laced with heating wires, had drawn back before reaching that particular plateau of discomfort. They passed one smart-looking townhouse, presumably converted from a shop, which had had its walls replaced by clear glass panes. Looking into the brightly lit rooms, Bobby could see that even the floors and ceilings were transparent, as was much of the furniture, even the bathroom suite. People moved through the rooms, naked, apparently oblivious of the stares of people outside. This minimal home was yet another response to Wormcam scrutiny, an in-your-face statement that the occupants really didn't care who was looking at them, as well as a constant reminder to the occupants themselves that any apparent privacy was now and forever illusory. At the junction with Tottenham Court Road, they approached the Center Point ruin, a tower block, never fully occupied, then wrecked during the worst of the Scottish separatist terrorism problem. And it was here that Bobby and Kate were met, as they had been promised. A shimmering outline blocked Bobby's path. He glimpsed a heat mask within an open shroud hood, and a hand stretched out toward his. It took him a few seconds to tune into the other's fast, confident handspelling.
25. 4712425. I am 4712425. I am...
Bobby flipped his hand over and replied,
Got you, 4712425. 5650982, me. 8736540, other.
Good. Whew. Good, at last, the reply came, brisk and sure. Come now. The stranger led them off the main street and into a maze of alleys. Bobby and Kate, still holding hands, kept to the sides of the street, sticking to the shadows wherever they could. But they avoided the doorways, most of which, before doors heavily bolted, were occupied by panhandlers. Bobby slipped his hand into the stranger's.
Think I know you.
The other's hand, with an iconic form, registered alarm.
So much for shrouds and numbers, bloody useless.
She meant the anonymous ID number each member of the worldwide informal network of refugee tribes was encouraged to adopt each day. The numbers were provided on demand from a central source, accessible by Wormcam, rumored to be a random number generator buried in a disused mine in Montana, based on uncrackable quantum mechanical principles.
Not that, he signed back.
What then? Shape a big fat arse can't conceal, even with shroud. Bobby suppressed a laugh. That was confirmation enough that 4712425 was who he thought. A woman, Southern English,
somewhere in her 60s, barrel-shaped, good-humored, confident.